O God, our Father, whose praise is in the church, uplift our souls to the holiness of your presence, that with pure hearts we may adore you and worship you with joyful lips, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please rise. We follow the order of service that's printed in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Acknowledging that we stand in the presence of our holy God, we humble ourselves, and in true repentance, we confess our sins.
Oh,
Jesus Christ himself has been punished for your sins. God the Father has placed on him the iniquity of us all. According to his authority and by his command, I announce to you the divine decree of our God that all of your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The Passion History Lesson is a compilation of the four gospel accounts of what happened during the final hours of our Savior's life. The fifth lesson begins on page 13 in my booklet. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers of the governor led Jesus away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together and gathered around him the whole garrison. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, clothing him in purple. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him and worshipped him, mocking him. They saluted him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head with it, and they struck him with their hands. And when they had mocked him, Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and sent again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, probably 6 a.m., according to Roman time. And he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And so Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. He delivered him to them to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus' purple robe off him and put his own clothes on him. They took Jesus and led him out to crucify him. And he, bearing his cross, went out. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming from the country. They compelled him to bear Jesus' cross. On him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. and a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And they brought him to the place called in Hebrew Golgotha, which is translated Calvary, the place of a skull. And when they had come there, they gave him sour wine mingled with myrrh and gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. He did not take it. So far, our Passion History reading. We continue with the Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Grace and Lent and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight's text is written in Matthew 27, the selected verse. Our question of Lent is verse 22, but allow me to read for you 15 to 22 as follows. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy they had delivered him. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor asked and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." On cross-examination, we're examining a bunch of questions of Lent during this series. And tonight's question comes from that last verse, 22. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? You and I face questions every day. Some of them are petty and unimportant. Others hold great weight and have great consequences. The simple ones, it doesn't really matter how you answer them. Life will go on pretty much the same. What color should I paint the entryway? What kind of insurance should I buy? But other questions are like black and white choices. They matter a great deal how you answer them, and you find yourself confronted with those from time to time. And some of them could determine your whole course of your life. Tonight's question is like one of those. It's the pleading, pondering, kind of bewildered question of Pontius Pilate. And in his question, we hear a very important one for every Christian. Maybe the most searching one. What then shall I do with Jesus? You might ask what would lead a Roman governor to ask a question like that. After all, Pilate was not some junior bureaucrat. He wasn't new to his job. He wasn't inexperienced or unimportant. He was the highest authority in the land. As far as Palestine was concerned, Pontius Pilate was the Roman government. He was Caesar. He was used to making decisions, and his word was all it took to condemn a prisoner to death or to free him. And when it came to these stubborn Jews, it usually didn't matter to him which one he chose. But there was something strange and different about the case of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. Pilate was clearly troubled. For several hours, the crowd of Jews outside had been demanding his blood, urging Pilate to pass a sentence of death on him. But the more closely he examined his prisoner, the less he found to condemn him. The governor said that much many different times to the crowd, and he announced to them his intention, "I'm going to set him free." How strange it was, though. Every time he declared that Jesus was innocent and he wanted to set him free, it seemed to whip the crowd into more of a frenzy. Something about this man was beginning to gnaw at the governor's mind. Strangely enough, he was becoming frightened. "Crucify him," the people shouted. "You crucify him," Pilate replied. "I find no fault in him." "We have a law," says the Jews. "According to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God," it says in the Gospel of John. And when Pilate heard that saying, he was even more afraid. Pilate was in an uncomfortable position. He was being forced to answer a question. That was becoming more difficult. What am I going to do with Jesus? The mob's answer was clear, and it never changed. Let him be crucified. But what if Jesus was as innocent as he seemed? What if the governor must have trembled a little? What if he really is some sort of son of a god? What would be the consequences if I, Pilate, condemn him to death? And to make matters worse, even Pilate's wife was turning up the heat. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." Pilate's fear and apprehension just grew. Pilate had a feeling he better release this Jesus. And he thought he knew just the political maneuver to do it. During Passover, the governor would pardon one criminal by custom. Usually it was whoever the people wanted released, but Pilate had a little scheme going. He gave them a choice between two, either Jesus or depraved murderer Barabbas. Now Pilate thought, "I'll surely be off the hook because they're never going to pick Barabbas to be released to them. Of course they'll pick Jesus." But imagine his shock when he put that choice to them. "Which of the two shall I release to you?" And they answered, "Barabbas." That's when Pilate was utterly bewildered. And that's when he asked this question, one he couldn't avoid. "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" The Jews had the same answer to his question. "Let him be crucified." What shall I do with Jesus? It's a question Pilate had to answer in the end. Of course, he tried to make it appear like he didn't have to answer it with his hand washing. He made a big show of doing that. But that was just a smokescreen. It really was in his authority to do one thing or the other, and it really was his responsibility. And in the end, he went along with the crowd. He gave his consent to the death of God's Son. What shall I do with Jesus? It's a question you and I, every Christian, really every human being, must answer. And washing your hands isn't an option. You can use that as a smokescreen, as Pilate did, but it doesn't really do anything. Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters." If you're unwilling to crucify him in unbelief, like the Jews, there's only one thing left for you to do, and that's to confess him as your Savior. There in that emotion-charged courtyard of the governor, that was the answer that nobody was going to do. Nobody was going to confess him as Savior there. Not the crowd, not Pilate. Not even Jesus' own disciples. They were conspicuously absent to a man. Nobody was found who would acknowledge Jesus for who he was. Nobody had the faith to stand up and tell these people the bitter truth that they were mocking and beating and killing the Son of God, who was sent to earth for them. It wasn't like Jesus was dying for people who deserved his help either. He wasn't suffering for noble people or faithful friends who had stuck by him to the end. Jesus was suffering for the faithless, for you and me. He was suffering for the inconstant, for the sinful. The hymn writer says, "What punishment so strange is suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep who love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him who would not know him." If If you want to know how much God loves you, you should take a look at the cross. See it all around you. It's in jewelry. It's in artwork. It stands prominently on top of this sanctuary. I noticed it coming up the road here from the east. There at the cross, in throes of writhing agony, Jesus bore the punishment for your sins. There he ransomed you from eternal death. Not because you were his friend, but in spite of the fact that you were by nature his enemy. Paul says Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man, someone might die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There on the cross, you see what Jesus has done for you. And now you can ask yourself that searching question, what shall I do then with Jesus? In the second century, an aging Christian named Polycarp was forced to answer that question by a Roman proconsul. During a period of religious persecution, Polycarp was arrested and brought to the local arena to be executed in front of a cheering crowd. And the proconsul gave him one last chance. "Swear and I will release you," he said. "Revile Christ. Turn your back on him." The old man replied, 86 years I have served him, and he never did me wrong. How can I now blaspheme my king who has saved me?" Brother and sister in Christ, we can answer only in the same way. When we reach that place where we have to decide, what shall I do with Jesus? Let's confess him as our Savior. Pilate didn't know how to handle the question, but we do. With the faith God has given us, let us confess Christ boldly. When someone at work maybe asks you out of the blue, "What do you think happens to you when you die?" Well, that's your moment. And in that moment, you'll have to answer the question, "What then shall I do with Jesus?" Temptation to sin may bring you to a similar question. Young people, when you're tempted to join in with the crowd and sin in one way or the other that young people do, well, it's not really limited to young people, of course, either. The abuse of alcohol and drugs or sexual promiscuity. Remember that question, what shall I do with Jesus? Children, when you're about to disobey your parents, say those words, what then shall I do with Jesus? When you're tempted to join in with the local gossip and say a few choice words about whoever's not around at that moment. When the atmosphere where you work tempts you to keep your faith under wraps and join in with the cursing and swearing. Wherever you are, whatever the temptation happens to be, stop a second. Observe that cross and what happened there. Ask yourself, what then shall I do with Jesus? Pray to the Lord for faith. It only takes a second. Spiritual gifts, he promises to deliver those. He'll give you the answer you need. I'll confess Jesus as my Savior. On Calvary, Jesus confessed his love for us. God grant us the faith to confess him in every way as our Savior. Amen. Please rise. I'll direct your attention to your bulletin for the sung response to the sermon. The same peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Oh, that be the cross of ransom he spells.
Please rise. We pray. Son of the living God, true Son of man, your love for us sinners soared to its height when you willingly bore the pain of the cross to save us from everlasting death. Grant us a strong faith that we always treasure the love with which you loved us in making yourself an offering for our sins. Enable us through the Holy Spirit to follow the example of your love and humility by doing what pleases our Father in heaven. Teach us to be merciful and to gladly help those who are in need and to show patience and forgiveness toward those who sin against us. Do not allow us to be discouraged from those crosses you may call upon us to bear for your name's sake. Give us boldness at all times to confess you as our Savior before an ungodly world. While we live here, cause all sadness, sickness, persecution, and every trouble we're called on to endure. Cause these things to purify our faith and draw us closer to you. Throughout our lives, you have been a continual source of earthly blessings. And you have always richly blessed us with the comfort of forgiveness and the certain hope of heaven. For these and other blessings without number, we thank you. Holy Redeemer, forgive our sin. Forgive every instance of our failing to let your cross and the beauty of your love shine forth in our lives. Cause your name to be preached in all the world. Open hearts everywhere to accept and worship you as Lord. Teach sinners in every land to lay their burden of sin at the foot of your cross and to look only to you for pardon and healing. Hear us for the glory of your name. Hear us as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the Lord's blessing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
Blessing, he is before the cross be still. Thank you.